The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now, on 105.9 FM WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Indeed, we're live today, bringing you a very interesting program, one that I think is going to turn a couple heads, but nevertheless, this is for you, and we do it on a weekly basis, bringing you the intimate truth about everything in your body. And, you know, we call it our ageless health presentation, and that's a whole different subject. But what I'm talking about today is, you know, how do we differentiate the platform of being female over being male? Isn't that interesting, right? So there's a lot of things that are very succinct and different between the sexes, and we're going to talk about a lot of different hormonal shifts. We're going to talk about immunological platforms. We're going to talk about how we have to look at the chemistries between a man and woman differently. And when you do have a problem, when you have not only a hormonal problem, but when you have an immunological problem, you know, what do you do about it? You don't treat them the same, because we're not the same immunologically. Women are women and men are men. And when you walk into a medical office, you have to acknowledge that differential and treat it accordingly. But who better to go over this with me than somebody who specializes in the area, our naturopath, doctor of naturopathic medicine, Dr. Stephanie Pina. Hi, Stephanie. Welcome.
Hello. It's always good to talk about this particular topic. Just because I feel like there's always new stuff that kind of comes out. And there's always a different way to kind of look at things too. So you're always presenting new information on this too. So,
you know, typically in the topic that you're going to be presenting this week, this is our springboard into our normal in-house program. But unfortunately, we can't have our in-house yet. We're coming up to them. Hopefully, keep our fingers crossed. But this topic, uniquely feminine, is really far more than uniquely feminine. It's the differentiation, if you will, of hormonal platforms and immunological platforms between men and women, correct?
Yes. And what's interesting too is I always like to look at it from a number of different angles, whether it's the Chinese medicine angle, or we look at it from even the pharmacological angle. And essentially we have to look at how women and men differ from everything in different aspects of life in order to come up with the best treatment for them, in order to understand why we get the illnesses that we get, in order to move forward, and especially when you're coming up with more holistic treatments that aren't relying on as much information on clinical research studies or involvement in large scale studies, because especially for women, they're not as included in some of those studies and information that we have on general health topics like heart disease and osteoporosis and stuff as well too. So it's very interesting to take different perspectives on how a woman's body is different, and then combine that to how we can best treat a woman and best diagnose her and come up with the best plan for her that might be just ever slightly different than if we were treating a man with a very similar issue.
So let's talk about that a little bit, because that's really important. We'll get into, you know, a little bit of imbalances and treatment modes and so forth, but particularly in today's world. And we were touching upon it a little bit before the program with people who are shifting, you know, in their sexual preferences, transgender, you know, wanting to be this and so forth. Succinctly, can you look at two people who claim to be one or the other the same way? Or do you have to really get down to the biological platform, the innate genetic map that they were born with, that they presented with, regardless of how they present and what they tell you?
It's a good question. I think it's one that's going to evolve as you see more people, you know, want to become transgender, who are basically, you know, also using external hormones to help them with feeling more like their identity is the same. But from a pharmaceutical standpoint, you know, you would still look at them as far as the gender that they're born with. So if I have a transgender woman coming in that was originally a man, I still need to consider that their biological needs and stuff are going to be they're still going to be presenting as a man. So if I'm working at their digestive tract, how they deal in their liver and how they deal with, say, the hormones that they're taking in, I have to think that a man's liver is able to process things a lot differently than a female's liver. Their enzymes are going to work a little bit quicker for certain types of medications. So I need to take that into consideration.
Well, the truth of it is that, you know, if you have a transgender male that comes into the practice, even though that they may be taking estrogens, they're still producing testosterones. And that testosterone has a huge impact immunologically. It has an impact on multiple systems. You can't differentiate that. You can't say, well, just because I say that I am. Well, your body biologically and biochemically is saying, time out, not so much. So, you know, having said that, and I wanted to distinguish that because in today's world, it's important. It's not, and we're not drawing a judgment relative to somebody wanting to do what they want to do because that's how they feel and that's what they're motivated to get done. That's on them. But what we have to look at as doctors, you know, how do they present relative to their physiological biochemical makeup so we can treat them properly? So having said that, let's get into a little bit more of, you know, this transition. We've talked about, you know, uniquely feminine on an annual basis, and we've talked about the characteristics of, you know, hormonal shifts, menopause, perimenopause, a young girl becoming a woman, you know, but it happens in both. We've talked about menopause. We can, also, for guys, by the way, there's this thing called andropause. We go into hormonal shifts as well. But most of this stuff is not necessarily designed to be bad where it's going to put you down because of societal, environmental conditions, meaning what we eat, what we're exposed to, the stress patterns, we end up struggling a lot. So let's talk about that a little bit. And, you know, if you were going to coach somebody and say, okay, this is what you should expect in a normal transitional phase, what would you tell them? And then how does that differ with what really takes place?
Right. So I always say there's what's the book knowledge, which is supposed to be what happens. And then there's the individual. And no matter who you're treating, you're talking to the individual in front of you. And going back to the original thing we were just talking about, you have to treat the mind-body aspect of it. And that might be a very different situation than the physiological aspect of them. But when I talk to someone who's having a difficult time transitioning, or say they're perimenopausal going into menopause, and they say, I know I'm going to get hot flashes and weight gain. And, I hear thyroid's going to get worse and my risk for autoimmune disease and breast cancer can increase. There's a lot of different aspects that go into that. When we have hormones in the body, one, they have to not just be there, but they have to turn on that tissue. They have to have a trigger to actually do that, just whether they're going up or down. So people are going to experience that very different based off of their physiological types, based off of their outside exposures, their xenoestrogen exposures that are outside in the world. They're also going to base that and make it a little bit different on, you know, their overall lifestyle, everything from diet to exercise to the stress patterns that they use. So you can kind of prep somebody ahead of time if they're really worried about what's going to happen in the next stage of my life, or why am I experiencing, you know, breast tenderness or PMS with my period when everyone else is fine? Should I get on birth control because I heard that's what's going to make everything better? Or even hormone replacement in menopausal women. Essentially what happens is you have to individualize the person because there are so many aspects and not everybody fits into that textbook. And I think women, because we have so many differences and the medications that we bring in and even supplements that we bring in can affect us differently, we have to be able to say, this is what we're seeing. This is what we want to expect. It doesn't mean that that's what's going to happen.
In a perfect world, woman or man, from the time they're born to the time they leave the planet, we have normal ebbs and flows, if you will, circadian rhythms, and we can link that into hormone reactions as well that should be normal. A woman comes in and she's a little girl and then she becomes a woman and she has her menstrual cycle. That seems to be the keynote. And then she goes a period of years and she's in childbearing years. And then she gets to a place where she begins to, shift going into that perimenopausal pattern and then ultimately menopause where she's no longer menstrual and she's no longer having children. Guys do the same thing. You know, they're little men and then they become young men and they become older men. And then, you know, they complete their lifestyles and testosterone levels ebbs and flows accordingly. So, you know, and there's differentiations that we know about. Guys continue to produce sperm on an ongoing basis. The quality of the sperm also indicates the quality of many things, including testosterone levels within the body. With women, they're born with so many different ovum, eggs within their ovaries, and they never have any more. And this is something I want to touch about a little bit in the program relative to this COVID vaccine, but we'll do that in the second half of the program. So let's talk about the distinguishing pieces of, you know, when does a woman know she's got a problem? You know, we're saying this should be a normal thing. It shouldn't be a big deal. It should go easily, but there's a whole lot of symptoms that start showing up that if we jump off of what we're saying right now, they shouldn't be there, but what are they and how does it get our attention? What should we start looking at and doing?
Well, I definitely think, you know, just like even when we talk about pain management, whether it's men or women, symptoms can be red flags that something's going wrong. So symptoms themselves can actually be an idea that we need to make a change. So we want to almost embrace them to some extent. We don't want to just treat them. We have to look at the pattern of why they're actually there. And so I would definitely say when you're having different types of pains throughout a menstrual cycle that come and go, or you see things happening like headaches or digestive issues that are in around when the hormones are fluctuating, whether that's mid-cycle around ovulation or right before a period. If a woman is experiencing excessive bleeding during a period, or even definitely when she's in menopausal years, which isn't normal because we're not creating that lining, what other factors are playing a part of it? So some of those symptoms are actually great things that are kind of ignored in a lot of times. And unfortunately, we're so used to just using an OBGYN, as the female reproductive medicine, practitioner to diagnose us. But we can also see that some of these changes and fluctuations with hormones affect the rest of the body. It affects the heart. It affects our immune system as well too. So we have to think outside of, for women's medicine, we have to think outside of the box of what they call boobs and tubes, because essentially we got to look at the rest of you too.
Yes, indeed. Listen, you know, you see so many, women relative to reproductive issues, and in today's world, we're seeing a lot of difficulty in getting pregnant, holding pregnancies, going to term and so forth. And there's subsequently, there's a lot of genetic mishaps that take place. Why are we seeing more of that today than we did years ago?
There's a lot of different factors. One of the interesting things that you see now, and when I'm working with one of the fertility clinics, they will start to investigate this a little bit more than say they did in the last 4 or 5 years. You know, they're starting to look at the influence that other hormones have on the reproductive system. In particular, how does the thyroid affect us? If our body metabolism, our energy, how does that affect how we get pregnant? Because they've seen hypothyroid and hyperthyroid issues, which can also create autoimmune issues, have more of a chance for a miscarriage or non-implantation. So that's definitely an effect there. Or you can't drive up the body temperature enough when the estrogens are rising to make sure that you have follicle stimulation. You also see the effect of cortisol. So a lot of the women that I'm coming in, perhaps for one reason or another, they've delayed trying to have a family. So their stressors are in a very different situation. So they're used to working 12, 15 hours a day going nonstop. Then they decide they want to have a family. And now all of a sudden everything's supposed to be the same way that they were biologically when they were in their 20s. And so that makes it much more difficult because you do start to see genetic changes, which is one of the number one things that a fertility clinic would tell you is the reason you're not getting pregnant is because of the genetic changes in your poor egg quality. But then also what you'll see is they'll talk about essentially, you know, your hormone levels are not adequate enough. So we will give you more hormones to do this. But if your body's not processing the hormones it's already making, is there going to be a difficulty and more side effects eventually with adding more estrogen and progesterone and everything in? So the stressor effects, the aging effects, Not just taking good care of ourselves are typically some of the things that I'm seeing. I have to sit down with women and have that conversation other than just, oh, we'll just give more hormone or less hormone, and that should be able to trigger a cycle.
Dr. Stephanie, we're coming up to a break, and I want to follow that train of thought when we come back after a very short interruption right now. This is a really important topic. I want to get into that environmental impact in our foods and so forth. most people don't understand it. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live, my guest in studio, Dr. Stephanie Pina. We'll be back in just a minute. Don't go away.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live continues now on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. Indeed we are. And we have a very interesting, if not fascinating, presentation. And with none other than Dr. Stephanie Pina, our doctor of naturopathic medicine at the Rozell Center for Healing in Fairfax. We're talking about hormones, and particularly a topic called uniquely feminine, but we're kind of transitioning it both male and female. Remember, guys, you go through ebbs and flows as well. And, you know, who you are biologically, what you were born with, is really how you have to be treated. So we're exploring that, and we're trying to iron out the misconceptions, if you will. Dr. Stephanie, welcome back. Let's get back into the topic. We have a short segment here, and then we will take a break. But this is a topic that so many people are really misfiring on. And, you know, we talked about the symptoms that can begin to occur both male and female relative to, you know, thyroid problems and fatigue and hormonal balances and so forth. But we left you talking about estrogens and the environmental impact on estrogens. And, you know, you had touched a little bit about xenoestrogenics and so forth. Why is that so important? And why are we seeing so many infertility problems and subsequently more transitional hormone problems, menopause, perimenopause, and so forth?
The estrogens that we get from outside sources, so that can be, if we're thinking about it, a lot of times we're talking about different types of plastics. It can be the in some of the products that we use, in a lot of different environmental things that we're exposed to over time that we may or may not know are available to us. But essentially what they do is these kind of synthetic versions of these hormones that we normally produce in our body, especially on the estrogen side, go in and they mimic estrogens. So they activate tissues that essentially shouldn't be activated, or they block ones that should be activated. So essentially what they're causing is a misfiring. So the things that are supposed to be functioning with normal hormone supplies all of a sudden are getting huge quantities of estrogens that they're not used to. So what does that find?
Estrogen-like substances.
Exactly.
Well. Yeah.
Exactly. And never mind the fact that some of those things from our food sources, like when we see genetic modified foods like soy and corn, they also are creating other issues as well, too. So we're really making it simple at this point as far as the food brought in.
And estrogens have to be balanced. They have to be blunted within the system, and they have a cyclic pattern that are there for a purpose. And then, unfortunately, when they should go away or be blunted down, they're not. And so we have predispositions to things like cancers and even mental capacities and other organ systems that are dependent on those triggers. They're not working the way they're supposed to. Is that correct?
Exactly. And so our liver has a huge role in breaking down those estrogens and creating what we call metabolites that are getting rid of it. There are three different types of estrogens in the body, just like there are three different metabolites that come out. And when you look at it, we have like good estrogen and bad estrogen, the same way we would have like good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. Well, if we have a lot of this bad, the bad estrogen, essentially what that is, the one that can kind of cause issues with breast cancer, ovarian cancer, it becomes a major factor. In men, it's also the one that basically can kind of lead to prostate cancer. So you have another issue, another area of the body that are essentially taking in a lot of hormone control as well, too. So we need to learn how to metabolize these a little bit easier if they're not going away. But what's the best way to do that? First is try to limit your exposure to some of these outside estrogen sources.
There's so much that we need to really appreciate about this, and people think stuff just happens, but unfortunately that's not the case. It's often direct exposure that we're unaware of, but nevertheless it's there. Guys, you know, we're seeing more and more men today with not only prostate cancer, but with breast cancer. Years ago, it was unheard of that a guy had breast cancer, but depending on the author, somewhere between 3 to 5% of all breast cancers are male today, and it's because the genetic material of the prostate and the breast tissue is the same. So they're both susceptible to it. But in our environment, where guys are being exposed to the same xenoestrogenic effects as women are, and the things that we put into our animals, even our cell phones and our computer systems, they have estrogen-like tags, those xenoestrogen tags that go in and cause the body to act differently. You know, we're going to get into some of the why the fixes behind this and what you do with these people. But what I want our audience to know is that this is the topic of the program that we will share with you this Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. All you have to do is call the office at 703-698-7117 and ask them, you know, to put your name on the list, and you'll give an email and they'll send you the presentation, or simply go to rosellecare.com. That's R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E.com, rosellecare.com, and let them, you know, sign up for it and they'll get it to you. But this is a fascinating presentation. It's one that you really need to be informed on. It's one that is causing tremendous amount of problems across the board, not only from cancers, but thyroid problems, tissue degeneration and breakdown, loss of bone mass, forget about the night sweats and fatigue patterns and hot flashes and things like that. We're coming up to a break. It's a very important topic. We're going to give you much more detail on it. Don't go away, because you have an expert, Dr. Stephanie Pina. We'll be right back after these very important messages.
This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. What an interesting program that we have today, and an expert to walk us through the weeds, Dr. Stephanie Pina, our doctor of naturopathic medicine. And we're talking about hormonal shifts. I mean, the program is titled Uniquely Feminine, but nevertheless, this has to do with all of us, including us guys, because we kind of ignore our body signals, and it has to do with environmental impacts so often. Dr. Stephanie is a specialist in hormonal dysfunction. She works with several of the fertility clinics, but more importantly, she works with us and with the problems that we have in regulating women and men's hormonal platforms. But this is about uniquely feminine, and fortunately, guys, it's not excluding you, because you are part of this puzzle, because we have problems with insomnia and, you know, awakeness and libidos that crash, and increased risk of different types of cancers, prostate cancers. And yes, unfortunately, we get the breast cancers as well. Dr. Stephanie, welcome back. Let's jump back into it. You know, I think there's a question that people don't really understand, and across the board, is why in hormonal transition states is sleep something that kind of goes away? They're waking up in the middle of the night, or they just can't get to sleep. They can't stay to sleep. Why is that associated with what we're talking about?
Well, we kind of hit a little bit on it earlier when we were talking about circadian rhythms. And so obviously the biggest circadian rhythm probably is our sleep wake cycle. Mm-hmm. And essentially, you know, when we're sleeping is that chance to basically detox the body, to help the cells to repair themselves. There's a reason why we need the sleep that we need. Otherwise, we would just go all the time. And you see this with people who do try to sleep all, or try to be awake all the time too. They end up having issues in the long run, but their bodies get used to it. Their bodies kind of go, oh, this must be the new normal. And I said, no, it's not. We need to retrain it. It's a correct.
You know, I hate that phase, right? That new normal.
I had to throw it in there somewhere. So, 4 hour sleep pattern is not the new normal. It never was the new normal. Even though there were times way back when we used to wake up in the middle of the night and go grab a food, and we still would, the amount of sleep that we got during those times, even when we were waking in the middle of the night to meet and greet our people at like 2 o'clock in the morning, was still about 7 or 8 hours. So we're not getting that back. We're just getting up and then continuing with the rest of our day and turning our computers on and getting our fix that way. So while we're sleeping, we're detoxing. And so that becomes one of the biggest times to basically help break down some of these metabolites that are basically being stored in the body. While we're sleeping, our metabolism is working on our extracellular fat. So where do some of these hormones go? They're all fat-based, so they like to hang out in the cells. So if we're not breaking down some of that, we're essentially creating a storage factory for some of these hormones as well, too.
Not a good thing.
Leads to whole other healthcare issues.
Yeah, indeed.
But essentially, the other thing that happens, too, is during the nighttime, our digestive tract's also kicking into phase. So our adrenals are trying to relax as well, too. When we're waking up in the middle of the night, and especially the people that have racing thoughts going on all the time, their body thinks they're basically awake. Their sleep cycle patterns have now flipped so that their night seems like their day. And all of a sudden, their body's saying, hey, I'm hungry. So you just involved your cortisol patterns. You're involving your blood sugar patterns. Your digestive tract is thinking about, where's my next meal coming from right now, which is waking you up to go find food, essentially. But what it's not doing is having a chance to process everything. Our sympathetic drive has now waken us up, so we're in fight or flight mode or work mode instead of that rest digest mode in the parasympathetic ways where we need that time for a reason. And if we're always that way during the day as well, then there just is no rest time for the body.
So here's an interesting situation. Excuse me for a second. there's a little gland called the pineal gland, and it sits at the back of the head. It's a master gland. It's the one that regulates so many different pathways, including hormones. So here's my, you know, kind of insight to this whole situation. We don't sleep, well. And when we do sleep, we have a whole lot of other input going on. That pineal needs to be in total blackness when we're sleeping, and it has to have exposure to sunshine during the day. Even though lights are on, it's not the same as sunshine. But when we're sleeping, unfortunately, most of us either have a night light, we have ambient lights, we have our computers on, we have digital printouts, the room is not completely black. Subsequently, the pineal cannot function at the level that it was designed to function, which is a master regulator with a lot of hormones throughout the body. And you see guys today, because sitting in front of computer screens all the time, and you know, they have their cell phones next to them, they sleep with them, women as well, hormonal shifts are occurring at a very early age where we didn't see them before. That's my take on it. And because when I'm looking at a patient and doing an evaluation, and that's one of the things I ask them straight up is, you know, tell me about your sleep patterns. Tell me what's in the room with you. Tell me what you're exposed to. Is your room completely black? And the greatest majority of people can't say yes. You know, they have issues with that. So,
and what's interesting about that, and a lot of times, you know, when people are starting to think about this, they may be looking at, you know, a supplement like melatonin and how that affects the sleep cycles, which get released during the nighttime. And that's one of the biggest things that we think of. But when we think about whether we want to give somebody melatonin, if it might be good for them, or even herbs like passion flower and valerian and, or even magnesium for that matter to help relax the body, there may be times where we have to change when we adequately dose that for somebody, just like when we're looking at the hormones. So essentially, the circadian setting that we have and our internal process is going to dictate when we eat our meals, when we supplement somebody, when we should even take some medications as well, too. It all kind of plays into effect. And so you'll start to see symptoms and stuff come up when, you know, we can't get our rhythms down, essentially. And no better way of seeing this is if you take someone who's like a night shift worker and try to turn them into a day shift worker.
That's right.
It's they'll get through it for a little while if they're going back and forth. And I know I've treated patients who, you know, are government workers that every 2 weeks they're switching back and forth. And they'll tell you they lose a day or two just kind of transitioning. But essentially at the same time, that's going to catch up with them in the long time.
You know, and using melatonin, the way we use it, or the way it's being purported, you know, in advertising, because you see a lot of advertising now for melatonin out there, is really inadequate in my opinion. And I didn't realize that about 2-3 years ago. I met a doctor down in Sarasota, Florida. His name is Dr. John Lawrence. John is this crazy biological research guy and does nothing more than regenerative medicine. And when I met him, we started talking about different types of things that suddenly got us into the pineal and the production of melatonin. And he said, do you use melatonin in practice? I said, absolutely. And he says, how heavy do you go? And I said, well, maybe, you know, 25 milligrams. Sometimes I'll kick it up to 50 for a very short period of time. He says, why don't you use at least 200? I said, what? And he said, at least 200. He says, I actually will dose people at 400 milligrams a night for approximately 3 months to reset the cycle, then slowly bring it back down. He said the interesting thing about the pineal gland, which I didn't know, is that you can't give it too much to shut it down. Ultimately, if you discontinue it, it goes back to what it was doing before. So if you use that opportunity to regulate the input, the irritation outside of it, and reset that, that master gland may solve a lot of the issues, which, you know, we're talking about today. It was a fascinating educational process for me, and one that really got my eyes open to what that little bugger is all about.
Now, we should say, I'll say I can hear the audience getting in their cars and driving either to the clinic or their like Whole Foods or whatever, going to the supplement section and looking for 200 milligrams of melatonin, or thinking, I will just take this entire encapsulated box of, you know, each one of these is 300. So I'll just take 100 of these right now because I can't turn my pineal gland off. That being said, so it doesn't exist out there in the normal way. So you have to work with somebody to get that. Let's put that out there. But that being said too, what's interesting is one of these hormones like melatonin that the body usually produces on its own is going to be treated very differently than some of the other sex hormones that we're doing. So if you start increasing, say, testosterone or progesterone or estrogen over and over, even DHEA, which you can see in some of those milligram doses over there you can take, they are going to have different side effects because it's going to multiple tissues throughout the body, not just one particular area. So you wouldn't want to do that with every single hormone that's out there and just go, we'll just reach it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I see this with my fertility patients all the time. There used to be a huge issue with overstimulation in order to get as many follicles as they possibly could get, but they were basically creating so many side effects that women couldn't go through the rest of the cycle.
Less is better.
Or you see this with women who basically are giving DHEA, which likes to turn into testosterone in women, or testosterone supplements, all of a sudden you're seeing some of the same androgen issues that you'd see a man who wants testosterone for, you know, muscle development as well too. You know, I'll have women come in all of a sudden be extremely aggressive with facial hair and go, what's happening? And we'll look at their supplementation and go, see, this is when increasing the wrong supplements and the wrong hormones at the wrong time can get you in trouble.
Exactly. That's what the case becomes. And guys, you know, as well have to be very, very careful because if they don't have, and this, we're going back to our old friend, the liver right now. If you have testosterones and you're not converting them into the free active form where the body can utilize it, or you have way too much and it goes into storage and in fat molecules within the body, that's where the guys are really, they're not only getting aggressive and they're not able to balance their hormonal patterns, but they actually are going to default in the opposite direction of what they were trying to actually create. And women, unfortunately, you know, if you're living with a man, and he's doing, testosterone levels, topicals particularly, and you rub up against that, inadvertently, you're going to get testosterone in your body, and you could see some of the things that you just described with women, the aggressive pattern, the facial hair, the shift in moods and so forth. So we have to be careful. So here's the million-dollar question. Is it necessary to supplement, or do we get ourselves into a place where we've become so expeditious, you know, we're expedient experts in trying to fix something that we forget that there's a different way of doing it? Can we do it with energetic shifts? Can we do it with dietary patterns, with whole food supplementation to get the body to get back to where it should have been from a natural genetic platform?
Absolutely. So one of the things when we think about this idea of transitioning is we don't go from our changes in estrogen and testosterone, these sex hormones. And I would say this comes up a lot of time for menopausal women because essentially that's when they're kind of going, oh, everything's my estrogen, my progesterone level's going down. I got tested. It's really low. You know, I've read some great social media stuff. I've read the books that came out even 10 years ago and I should be on every single one of them because I'm going to feel great. And this person was great. So that should be me. And the problem is, one, most people aren't getting tested to see what their levels are to begin with. And that's and how they're breaking down those levels. So if you have extra estrogen in the body, it may actually help with your transition through menopause, but you want to make sure you're converting it correctly. Always not are giving major doses of hormones are not necessarily the way to do it. So we can use more natural ways to do it that become, we can use phytoestrogens in a good way. We can create issues where, or create things that are going to help out with the sleep patterns to help deal with the cortisol levels in the pineal gland. So that way we can transition more naturally. The same thing where you're talking about men rubbing, or women rubbing up against men to get testosterone, the same can happen with men rubbing up women who have topical estrogens. So now they've just been exposed to estrogen as well too. And this was a huge thing that was, you know, I used to see it in one of my other clinics a long time ago is everything was about topical, but they were going, well, I'm going to put it on and then I'm going to wipe my hands on the towel after I wash my hands. Well, guess what? It's fat based. Unless you really, really washed them, you just put it on the towel that your significant other or even a child might use as well too. So now they've just got your dose. So there are definite times when you want to look at different types of ways and energetic patterns that kind of help out with that transition so that you're balancing the body in other aspects. So it just doesn't become put more of whatever hormone or whatever substance we're missing. And it's definitely more of a pharmaceutical thing to say, oh, am I deficient in aspirin? Am I deficient in, you know, warfarin? Am I deficient in a medication? We don't look at it that way. We look at why has the body got this issue going on and how do we help to balance it out?
Well, you know how my headspace works. You know, the body was designed perfectly and we're the ones that mess it up over a period of time. It's our emotional exposures, our neurological injuries that we have that we don't take care of completely. And then biochemically is what we're talking about right now is our environmental impact. Anything that's exogenous outside of the body that has an effect inside the system. And we become masterful at screwing it up over a period of time and we keep stacking it. Then we see the little symptoms that start coming about from, you know, mental focus and brain function, or I don't feel good, or my energy is low, or what's this thing that's developing on my skin, or a woman, you know, says I have no libido and my vaginal lubrication is like the desert. You have so much of that goes place. And then medicine says, well, that's a normal platform. That's the way things happen over time. No, it's not supposed to happen that way, because in other cultures that are not exposed to the environmental impacts that we have, don't go through this. So if we're coming up to the end of the segment, and what I'd like to get into, and I know you're going to cover it in the, your presentation this Wednesday evening, is what really happens on the next step. What happens when you see a patient? What happens when you make a decision relative to how you're going to treat them? This is a fascinating topic. I'd love to sit here for another 2 hours just going back and forth with you on this, because it's so important if we really want to not only get people to feel better, but save lives. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. My guest in studio today is Dr. Stephanie Pina, our doctor of naturopathic medicine. Who knows better than her when it comes to hormonal impact? Don't go away. We'll be right back after some very, very important messages.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, as you do every Sunday on the Eastern Seaboard at 11 a.m. Make sure you tell your friends to tune in if they want the right and applicable information on how to take care of your health naturally. That's what we do. That's why we're here. That's why we give you the truth on an ongoing basis. My guest today, Dr. Stephanie Pina. We're talking about hormonal shifts. The program is actually called Uniquely Feminine, but guys, you noticed if you've been listening, this affects you as well. So ladies, make sure that you get this information to them. This is the topic of our Wednesday night program this coming week. If you'd like to have a copy of it and hear the presentation, all you need to do is go online at rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com, rozellecare.com. Register. You'll see it's called Uniquely Feminine. Or simply call the office at 703-698-7117. Dr. Pina, welcome back. We got a couple of minutes to wrap this up a little bit. What are you going to focus on the presentation? What will people walk away with? How can they benefit by, you know, going online and grabbing this thing and sharing it, obviously, with anybody that they'd like to?
Well, one of the main things is obviously we want people to become educated so they have options. They can look up for more information. They know how to get a hold of us as well, too. And since we can't do it live, I always tell patients, you know, my email is on there. If you've got a question ahead of time, go ahead and email me at the office or email me after the lecture, because a lot of times there's stuff that we can't cover that we can answer when people are live. So hopefully someday we'll be able to turn back to that platform. But in the meantime, what I want to do is give as much information as we can about understanding some of the basic reasons why we have to keep hormones balanced and how that affects the entire body, not just the female reproductive tract, but the entire body. And so I'm going to go through little snippets on how it also affects the urinary tract, how it affects the pelvis and the congestion. And how does that lead into when we talk about structural issues in women's medicine? Why does that create issues in why do we have to treat that differently than we would with men? But how are hormones also affecting our everyday lives? And what can we do to start looking at things a little bit differently than just supplementing more with it and understanding how the body basically brings things in and has to detox it? And when things are left inside and not able to be cleared out, why that leads to the issues that we constantly hear about all the time between breast cancer and uterine cancer, and why we need to bring more and more information about women's medicine to the forefront.
You know, it's so important to understand that hormones have to be in a very delicate balance. And when they shift, there's a reason for that shift. It's not something that happens naturally except through the transition of phases of perimenopause, menopause, and that should be easy. Unfortunately, in Western cultures, because of all the things that we've touched upon during the program today, is not the most gentle, easy shift for so many women. And it can be, and it should be. And there's a lot that you can do about it without, you know, running and doping up with a tremendous amount of hormones. If you want to change your outcome, this is the way to get it done. Dr. Stephanie is a go-to for us in the practice for me. I enjoy talking to her because she's a wealth of information and knowledge, and we can apply it across the board virtually to, you know, everyone that we see, because no matter what the condition is, whether, you know, we have somebody comes in with bone pain, somebody comes in with headaches, somebody comes in with, I don't feel good. It often has to do with this. Dr. Stephanie, we're coming up to the end of the program, but I want to thank you because your wealth and breadth of information on this is amazing. It's always impressed me. So hopefully, you know, people reach out. Just remember it's this Wednesday evening, and all you have to do is right now today go online at rosellcare.com and register for the class. If you'd like to talk to Dr. Pina before the program, 703-698-7117. We're coming up to that place where we're going to have to say goodbye to everybody, and you know, we have another interesting program next week. There was a whole lot more that I wanted to cover, but Dr. Stephanie, thank you very much.
No
remember,
problem.
We do the program simply for one reason and one reason only, because we love you. See you next week. Bye.